What's kind of crazy about that video, it said that, he has the 3 Super Bowl rings. He's dating, at the time, a supermodel. He's got fame, fortune, success, everything. And he says, hey, there's got to be more to this life than this. This can't be all there is. There's got to be more. What do you think it is? I wish I knew. I wish I knew what it was. I wish I knew what else was out there. And we see these guys, Tom Brady is actually an exception to some degree, because we see these guys so often, throw this away. You guys ever get frustrated at that? Right, so Michael Vick has all these things. He's stardom and fortune and fame, and all he really has to do is just kind of go through life, right? He just has to do his deal, right? And he wants to have like these dogs fight in his backyard, and he goes to prison. It's craziness. And then what about like Steve McNair? Same deal, right? You're facing retirement. You've got a wife and kids who love you, and all you've got to do is just kind of operate. You just got to do your deal, man. You just got to go through life. Then you want to take on this adulterous relationship that ends in your death and her death. You're still finding out what's going on there. And it goes on and on. I mean, we look at Hollywood and stars. We look at Paula Abdul. We look at Paris Hilton. We look at Lindsay Lohan. And we're like, dude, what? Get your act together. Like, all you have to do, you have everything. I mean, just operate normal. Like, it seems as all you have to do is just kind of wake up, do your deal, eat in the middle there somewhere, go to sleep, and life is handed to you on a silver platter. You just can't get it right, though. Do you know any of these people, like trust fund? That wasn't me, but some of my friends, they have these trust funds, or their parents are wealthy, and they're just handed all of these kind of worldly gifts on a silver platter. And, for me, her name was Molly. I sat behind her in algebra in high school, and I was just like, dude, Molly, all you've got to do, like life is easy for you. Like, you've got it all. You're beautiful. Your parents have money. All you've got to do is just wake up and eat, socialize, and then go to sleep. It seems like it's pretty simple. And so often we get frustrated when we see people that have so many things, so many gifts, and they just mess it up. They continue to pursue that which brings destruction. And I would tell you tonight that every one of you have something in common. Everybody in this room, we're all searching for fulfillment. We're all searching for significance. Like, we're looking for that thing. And so some of us are like, hey man, this can't be all it is. Just this job, this can't be all it is. This can't be all it is in this relationship. This can't be all it is in singleness. This can't be all it is in the church. There's got to be more to it than this. There's got to be more even to Jesus. Then this can't be all it is. And we'll look, a lot of you will leave here tonight and you will spend the rest of your life searching for that thing that's going to fill that hole in your heart. And sometimes we sell Jesus as that. We're like, oh, he's the peg that's going to fit that hole in your heart. Tonight we're talking about the prodigal son. We're going to kick off a new mini-series. Okay, it's called the Hearts of the Lost, the Loved, and the Legalistic. And I'm excited about it because there's something in this series for everyone. I think no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, I think over the next 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to find something that resonates with your heart. And so if you miss one, I just encourage you to kind of pick up where we left off online, and you can do that. But we're going to look at what it is that we naturally turn to. Tonight we're going to look at that we want to receive this fulfillment from. And we're going to talk about this idea that, we're not kings of this world. And then lastly, we're just going to talk about what it is that we are kings of. And we're going to spend our time in Luke 15, if you would turn there. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to cover this whole chapter. I'm going to skip around some tonight. I'm going to kind of start at verse 11, but we'll come back and pick up verse 1 through 11. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, talking about Christ. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so the teachers of the law, the religious people of the day, like, they're frustrated by this. They're really turned off by the fact that Jesus would hang out with sinners. And so Christ just kind of goes in. He knows this, right? And he goes into these parables. And so he talks about the lost sheep. And he says, hey, when you lose a sheep, won't you leave the 99? If you have 100 sheep, won't you leave the 99 and go pursue the one you lost to find them? And then he talks about the lost coin. And he says, hey, when there's a coin, or when money is lost, won't you call your friends and say, help me look for it? And when you find it, won't you rejoice? Won't there be much rejoicing? And then he says this in verse 11. Now the tax collectors, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. There he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." So here's what's going on here. You got this dad. He has two sons, an older son and a younger son. And the younger son, so these are guys, right? These are guys that just have to go through life. Like, their dad clearly has blessings. They have servants. We find that later on. And so there's two sons, and basically they have this trust fund, right? All they have to do is go through life. It's going to be pretty easy for them. And the younger son says, "Hey, I'm kind of bored with this. Hey, can I go ahead and can I have some of my inheritance now?" Which would have been weird, right? Because typically in this day, you wouldn't get an inheritance until the father was no longer able to care for the property. And so he's coming early and he's saying, "Hey, Dad, you know, we know the inevitable, right? You're going to get there. And so can I just have what's coming to me a little early?" And the dad says, "Sure." Right? He gives him that wishes. And so the son now, in this situation, has everything that he needs. He has all of the means and all of the time to go and pursue whatever it is he wants. And so I'm going to make the argument tonight, and this is the really radical, crazy thing. We kind of looked at this last week with don't trust yourself. But I'm going to make the argument tonight that we have no idea. Like, left alone, like, we have no idea what is best for us. And so my first point is, what we naturally turn towards for fulfillment is often wrong. See, it's sin that comes natural to us. Like, that's easy, right? Like, you live in the city, like, that's the easy things. It's easy to, like, sit alone, I'm bored, okay, I can look at pornography. It's easy to, okay, well, I need to spend, I need to go shopping, I need some shopping therapy. So it's easy to just run up those credit cards. You're in that relationship, right? Tell me, in a relationship, it is easy to restrain yourself from one another, right? Right? No? No, it's not. No, the natural inclination, right, your natural desire, what comes natural to you is to want to offer yourself, all of yourself, to that person, and vice versa. Those are the things that come easy to us. Those are the things we want to do. I'm going to take these off. These aren't an illustration. They're just a symptom of a mortal body in this lost, broken world. In Romans 7, verse 18, Paul says this. He's just toiling, right? He says this. He says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Man, who can't relate to that? He says, hey, I want to go and feed the homeless. Like, I see that, and I know logically, hey, I could do that, and I'd probably find fulfillment there, maybe to some degree, but instead I'm going to go to the bar, I'm going to go to the club, I'm going to do this. I know that she's bad for me. Like, I know that I don't even think she likes me, but I just can't stop liking her. I just can't stop thinking about her. I know, you know, mama said he's no good for me, but I just can't. I can't stop pursuing him. Man, I know that crazy dude on Tuesday said I need to stop having sex, but dude, it's just not happening. I mean, it's just too hard. It's too hard. I know I'm supposed to stay away from these things that bring destruction to my life, but for some reason, you know, I keep going to them. I know I'm supposed to go to the porch on Tuesday, but Primo's $2 margarita just sounds better. Right? Not to you guys, though. These are the righteous here. And here's the crazy thing. This is a chronic condition in the flesh. Like, this doesn't go away. Sometimes I think that, okay, well, here's the deal. I need to find that hole, that peg of Jesus that's going to fill that hole in my heart. And then I'm going to be able to walk in the Spirit all the days of my life. And it's going to be easy. It's going to go away. But Jeremiah 17:9, I don't have enough time to set up the context of this text, but he says this. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. And here's what he says. He says, and beyond cure. Who can understand it? He said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Like, the heart will lead you astray. That which you naturally want to do, like all by yourself, those things you want to do, that's your wicked heart. And there's no cure for that here in your flesh. There's no cure for that. And it's kind of like last week we just talked about in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, you know, in that verse it says, lean not on your own understanding. See, your own understandings will always bring tragedy. But it's not like you just naturally kind of drift towards the things that aren't best for you. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Like, sometimes you drift towards the things that are worst for you. Like, how crazy is this that we're put in this place and there's this God and our natural inclination is everything that's bad for us. Like, those are the things we're attracted to and that we want to do. How weird is that? Let me explain to you what I'm saying. Kind of an obscure illustration, but a true one. Before I was a believer, kind of adolescent into college years, if you would have asked me what I wanted to do for a living, all right, I would have smiled at you with a slight grin and told you I want to be a Playboy photographer. Yeah, dude, it's like, hey, I'm going to hang out with my boy Hugh, right? And there's going to be naked women there, and I'm going to take their picture, and I'm going to get paid to do it. See, every girl in the room just said, that guy is a pervert. And every guy in the room just said, yeah, me too. You know? That's the truth, though, right? I mean, that was the thing. You asked me, and I would have said, you said, hey, JP, what do you want to do for a living? Like, I had thought about this, right? And I was kind of artsy, and I think I could maybe take good pictures, and so I want to be a Playboy photographer. That seems like the dream job to have. And now I'm, you know, I've given my life to Christ and I don't think such wretched things. And so now I would tell you what's crazy about that is if you asked me, say I have a wife at home who loves me and I have these two daughters who love me and who I love very much, all three of them. And if you asked me, hey, what's the very worst job you could possibly have? Like, that would be most detrimental to all of the blessings God's placed in your life. I'd probably say that. I'd probably say, man, something like that anyways. That would tempt me in that way, that would lead me into that lifestyle. And here's what's crazy about that. Don't miss this. So the thing that I wanted most in one season, the thing that everything in me wanted, my heart naturally migrated. I was like, hey, that would be the dream scenario. That would be the best thing for JP is now. The absolute worst, most disastrous thing for me. How crazy is that? And that's kind of a lofty illustration, but as you think through different things that you want to do, I mean, that's so true of our lives. As we sit alone at home on a Friday night, or we're in a relationship with someone that we desperately want to honor God, but it just doesn't come all that natural to us. This is the theme verse of tonight. And this is, I want you guys to memorize this before next week. It says this, it's Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Hey, I want you guys to say that with me. Ready? There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Amen. Amen. There's the way that seems right. Man, the prodigal son said, hey, I got all of the freedom. I got money. I got time. I'm going to go get some prostitutes. We find out later is what he was doing. I'm going to fill my life with wild living. I'm going to pursue everything in this world. I'm going to be a king in this world. Man, I got it. I got it. I can do it. Just like Steve McNair, like Elvis Presley, Kurt Cobain, Michael Jackson. Yeah, man. I got this. And it leads to death. And it leads to death. And here's the deal. You've heard that if you run in Christian circles, you've heard that God wants to give you the desires of your heart. You guys ever heard that? That God wants to give you the desires of the heart, or God will give you the desires of your heart. And so here's what happens. So I love God, right? And I'm pursuing God. And so I also would really like, my heart would really like a Maserati waiting for me outside. And so does that mean that when I leave this place, there's going to be a Maserati out there? No, of course not, right? Unless one of you guys bring me one, which would be nice. And so, real nice. And so what do we say in Christian circles of that? Here's what we say. We say, well, but you've got to like, you've got to want the things that God wants. So whenever you want the things that God wants, then God gives you the desires of your heart. Isn't that what we say? And it's kind of like this catch 22 where I'm like, what? You just kind of like spoke something away. And so it's like, okay, so I can get what I want as long as it's what God wants. Okay, whatever. But here's the deal. And I really believe, like in my time of ministry, vocational ministry, in my time of just hanging out and just thinking through this stuff, I really believe that often God gives us the desires of our heart. Often. It looks like this. Like you, if you're really lazy and you just want to like kind of relax and kick up your feet, like that's the thing that you just love most in the world is, hey, I just want to relax. I just want to hang out. Like a lot of times God just lets you do that. Like the job just kind of goes away. And you're just sitting there and you can't get out of bed to even look for a job. And you're just like, man, I'm just going to be lazy. It looks like this. Let me go further with that. Sometimes you want money. Like that was instilled in you as a kid. You saw your dad. He was successful. He was often gone. And so, you know, pursuing money and being successful. And so now you want to follow in his footsteps and you're looking for fulfillment in money. And so you wake up and you're just one of those crazy driven persons. You know, you get there early, you leave late, and you just pursue the dollar, pursue the dollar, pursue the dollar. Like a lot. Guess what? You're probably going to have money. That's probably going to happen. I mean, it'll come at great expense. It might cost you everything, but you're probably going to have that. And so sometimes those things war against each other, right? Like sometimes you got a really, really lazy person who really, really wants a lot of money, right? Some of you are like, yeah, this one dude just hit somebody on the shoulder. That's not cool. That's not cool, man. And so here's what happens. You're really, really lazy and you want a lot of money. Well, one of those desires is greater than the other, and it'll typically win out. Like one of those desires of your heart is greater than the other desire. And so if you want to pursue money bad enough to get your hiney off the couch and pursue the dollar, then a lot of times that happens. If you'd rather be lazy, then more times than that happens. And so you're saying, you're like, oh man, JP's up there teaching heresy. Well, I don't think so. Romans 1:24 says, therefore God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts. It says God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart. He gave them to that which their heart desires, even though it wasn't of Him. They wanted to have wild, crazy, freaky sex. That's what was going on in this verse. And He says, hey, go do it. Fine. You can have all the sex you want. Man, that's a scary concept if you think about it. Like sometimes God is going to give you the greatest desire in your heart. And yeah, absolutely. You know, the verse that I referenced earlier is Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of your hearts. And so certainly, it is certainly better off to find out what God wants for you and to pursue the things that the Creator of the heavens and the earth wants for you rather than to pursue the wild living like the prodigal son. And see, I feel sorry for the guy or the girl here tonight that can really pull off this world. What I mean by that is, like, you got it, like Molly, like I was talking about earlier, like you got it. Like all you've got to do is, you know, the world loves you and the world's kind of going to, you know, lay out the red carpet for you. This is going to be really hard for you to pursue the things of God, because the things of this world really come easy to you. It's going to be more challenging, I think, for you. My heart always goes out for that person. And so what is it that we want? See, I think we want to be kings in this world. That's what we want. We want to be kings in this world. We want to be treated like kings in this world. That's why our heart goes out to the stars in Hollywood. That's why our heart goes out to Tom Brady. And that's why he has the public attention. People like him, right? Because the world makes those people kings. And so we see that. And so we want to be kings of the world too. And so number two, we are not kings of this world. We are not kings of this world. See, that the prodigal son, he was in his father's kingdom. And he says, hey, I want to leave your kingdom, Dad. I want to go build my own. I want to go pursue my own kingdom. I no longer want to be under your reign. I no longer want to receive your blessing. I want to receive it now so that I can go build my own kingdom. I don't need your kingdom anymore. And so we pursue the world and we try to make this world our kingdom. But here's the deal. If you're here and you've committed your life to Christ, like you've trusted in Jesus, you follow Jesus, not just trust, like you believe in the death and the resurrection of Christ, man, the world's going to hate you. Yeah, man, it's going to hate you. Like you can love the people of this world, and what I mean by that is like you can care for them and provide for them, and often they will bite the hand that feeds them, and they will turn on you. Yeah, it says it in Scripture. It says, when the world hates you, remember it hated me first. So you're not meant to be a king of this world. You're not a king of this world. John 15:19 says, porchgoers, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. See, the world chewed up the prodigal son and spat him out. He pursued all the things in the world, and man, it just had its way with him. And so here's what I think the church does, right? The church says, oh, sin, ugh, that's not even fun. Oh, it's just not even good. We don't want anything to do with that. We're so much bigger and better than that. Oh, sorry about that. God didn't like that illustration either. And so, one time I was talking on sex, and I said, hey, the reason not to have premarital sex is because on an erotic scale of 1 to 10, premarital sex can be a 12. And you'll pursue that kind of that risque feeling the rest of your life. And then when you're in a committed relationship, a God-honoring relationship, that is not really there anymore. That sense of breaking the rules. And somebody got really offended by that, somebody that was married and somebody that waited till they were married. And they said, you're acting like I'm having a lesser sex. And I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. See, I think we get really offended when people say that sin is fun. Man, here's what I wanted to tell you. Like heroin, just to go to an extreme, that's got to be a lot of fun. It's got to be, right? Like people give their lives to that thing. Like it's got to feel good. Like people destroy their lives for the sake of that drug. I've got to assume that it feels really, really, really good. But it leads to destruction. And so, to hit this home, there's a part of me in my sinful nature right now, there's something in me, honestly, that would rather be at Primo's. There is. I'm on staff at a church. And I love hanging out with you guys on Tuesday night, but there's still something wicked inside me that would rather be there. And if I don't keep it under control, if I don't constantly put it in its place with a lot of prayer and healthy community and getting into scriptures, it will devour me. And it will leave me feeding the pigs. It's not about short-term pleasures, guys. It is about long-term contentment. There are a lot of things you can do when you leave here tonight for a lot of short-term pleasures. Heroin's one of them. I wouldn't recommend it. They will leave you desperate. Romans 12:1-2. It's a verse we looked at a lot. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies, to present everything as living sacrifices to Him, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And it says this. It says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't be a king of this world. Don't even conform to this city. Don't even conform to Dallas, but be different. Be changed. Be mine. I've called you out of the world, Christ says. And so why don't we conform to this world? Because we have something better. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of people here tonight that don't believe this. I know. There's something better. Number three, we are heirs to God's kingdom. This dude went out and sought everything that his heart desires. He had the means and the time to do it. And he ended up being a pig farmer. In Jewish tradition, or in Jewish culture, for a guy to be a pig farmer, it was the lowest of lows. Okay, so what happened was this guy had ventured off to a Gentile country, right? And pursuing the crazy things. His brother tells us later that he was sleeping with prostitutes and pursuing wild living and all of these things. And he ended up complete desperation. And he says, hey, certainly someone will hire me, right? I will hire myself out and I will be a pig farmer. And it says his belly was empty. And he says he longed to feed himself with the pods that the pig ate, the slop that the pigs ate. The pods were probably something from a tree around there, the carob tree. And so it was just scrap. It was trash is what it was. And he says, hey, I long to feed my belly with that which the pigs eat. He had hit the lowest of lows. He was, frankly, licking toilets. That's what was going on here. That's where it leads. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Guys, we must realize what we have in Christ. We are heirs to the kingdom. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come so that they may have life and have it to the fullest. Dude, this guy did not wake up one night just feeding pigs. That didn't just happen. Like there was this slow drift of his heart. Like he just continued to look back. I mean, he was probably a religious guy. More than likely. Okay? And just slowly, he's like, hey, the world is attractive. The world is attractive. And now, right now, I've graduated from college. All right, now I've got a job in Dallas. And now I have the means to really pursue the world if I want to. Like, I can get the city, take the city for all it's worth. I got this. And it led him feeding the pigs. It led to him feeding the pigs. Hey, what areas in your life right now are drifting away from Christ and the abundant life that Christ has to offer you? So over the next week, I want you to think carefully of those areas in your life that you may be letting drift away. I want you to think about those things and compare them. I want you to think, hey, I want you to audit your desires. Think about this. I want you to think about all of the things that I want right now. Maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's one particular relationship. Maybe it's a particular job. Maybe it's to make six figures. Maybe it's to make six figures several times over. Maybe it's to drive a particular car. I want you to think about even the things in church, your nightlife. And I want you to think about, are these things that my sinful desire? Are these God's desires? And what desires are ruling out? What desires are winning out? I really don't think that we understand what it means to be heirs to the kingdom. You know how you get mad when, like, you see that about Steve McNair? And you're like, dude, he had so much. Like, why did he squander that? Why did he squander his inheritance? Like, how did Michael Vick mess that up, man? All he had to do was play football. How did he mess that up? Why does Lindsay Lohan consistently do that? Why does Britney Spears? Spencer Pratt, I saw he just got arrested. If you're a Hills fan. Nathan, One Tree Hill, if you watched that last night. All right? I don't know, but why did these guys always do that? Like, why do they consistently have all of this stuff and they squander it? You are those guys. You are that trust fund baby. Man, you've got more than those guys ever imagined in their wildest dreams. You have it. It's promised to you. You have it. It's promised to you. You've got it, dude. Everything and anything that Steve McNair, Michael Vick, Tom Brady, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, whoever, you've got it. You've got more than it. It's promised to you. You are heirs to the kingdom. You don't believe me? I want to end with this. I just want to read some verses to you. I just want you to think about them. Acts 3:25. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made for your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Ephesians 3:6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:7. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hopes of eternal life. Hebrews 6:17. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it. He confirmed it with an oath. And lastly, my favorite, 1 Peter 2:9. Porchgoers, Dallasites, you are a chosen people, man. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into this wonderful, dare I say, marvelous light. And some of you are here, and a lot of that's lost on you because you've just been, God in his mercy tapped you on the shoulder at an early age and just said, hey, follow me. You're a rarity. And I'm glad you're here, man. We need you. We need you shepherding. We need you here. Okay, but don't grow stagnant in your faith. And don't forget that you're an heir to the kingdom. Don't forget what that means every day. Don't let that grow stale. And the rest of you, you are those trust fund kids. You are those Hollywood stars that have everything. You're not those, okay? You are so much more than that. Like, you can't even fathom, you can't even get your mind around that. Like, God has an inheritance for you, and you must not squander it. You don't want to be like, hey, God, can I have it early? Can I get my inheritance? Like, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to have my heaven here. I'm going to have my best representation of heaven here in this place instead of waiting to be with you. Man. Let me just pray for us before we go. God, would you grow our understanding of what it means to be heirs to your kingdom? I'll be honest, that's not something that even I think a lot about. God, would you grow our understanding of what it means to be heirs to the kingdom? And God, we confess that we betray you. God, we get distracted by this place. God, we want to pursue the way that seems right to us, but in the end leads to death. God, will you help us not do that? God, will you help us to have the abundant life that Jesus promises us when we pursue him radically? I pray that our lives would be marked with the abundance that comes from belief, a true belief in you. Amen.